أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلا إن كتاب الفجار لفي سجين وما أدراك ما سجين كتاب مرقوم ويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين وما يكذب به إلا كل معتد أثيم إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون ثم إنهم لصال الجحيم ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون. صدق الله العظيم. In this surah, the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have warned us of at-tatfif, which we talked about in detail in our last session, that tatfif means giving someone less than what that person is supposed to get. This is called tatfif in the Sharia. And as I explained, that there are many different ways of neglecting people's right and giving them less than what they are supposed to get. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have explained in Quran al-Kareem, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اتَّالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَانُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Those who demand everything in full when they measure or weigh something for people, or when people will measure something for them, they will demand everything in full. And when it's their turn to give it to people, they give them less. And giving people less is not only in weighing and measuring, in everything that people are supposed to get anything from us. As I said, this is in the rights of people. For a person who's working, he's supposed to work 8 hours and working 7 hours, this is tatfif. The person is supposed to produce, for example, if someone is a carpenter and he can make 4 chairs a day, but instead of making 4 chairs a day, he makes only 3 chairs a day. This is also tatfif, not giving his full energy and not giving the owner everything that he's supposed to get from him. And it's in the rights of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, that not giving the ibadahs the time these ibadahs are supposed to get from us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, أَسْوَأُ النَّاسِ سَرِقَةً أَلَّذِي يَسْرُقُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ. The worst thief is the one who steals from his salah. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in asked, Ya Rasulullah, how can a person steal from his salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يتم ركوعها ولا سجودها. He does not perfect the ruku' and sujood of the salah. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in other hadith, there are people who perform salah throughout their life. As they will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will realize they don't even have a single salah in their good deeds. And the reason? Because they were not giving the salah the proper time and attention that salah deserves. Going too fast in ruku', going too fast from sujood. And this is something that we really see it a lot in our masajid nowadays. After ruku, a person gets up after the ruku and never stands up properly and just goes down to sujood. After sajda, the sitting between the two sajda sometimes is so fast that you can tell and you can see the person also that he never sat properly. Sharia requires from us that when a person gets up from his ruku', he should stand properly, stand still, and then spend at least a moment, a second, in that position, standing in its proper position, and then he can go to sujood. While he is in the movement, in the process of movement, he cannot go to sujood, and he's not allowed to go down to sujood. Same thing between the two sajdas. As long as the person does not sit properly, and he sits in its in the proper form as Sharia requires, and then stays in that form for a moment, he is not allowed to go to the second sajda. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a sahabi who came to the masjid and he was performing salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the group of sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een. That sahabi, after performing the salah, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him, "Wa alayka salam, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli." Wa alayka salam, go back and perform the salah again. You have not yet performed the salah. That person went and performed the salah again. When he came back, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same thing to him, "Irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go back and perform the salah, for you have not yet performed the salah. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّي. You have not performed the salah yet. He did it three times. Then he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't know what mistake I am making. So Ya Rasulullah, please teach me how to perform the salah." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him the salah. And he mentioned the complete way of performing the salah. And part of that way of performing the salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after you get up from ruku', then stand up properly, and once every part of your body it's in proper form, where it's supposed to be, then you are allowed to go down to sujood. ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَافِعًا. There has to be اطمئنان. اطمئنان means with peace of mind, the person gets up. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us the worst thief is the one who steals from his salah. And stealing from the salah means, if we are supposed to give that standing position 2 seconds and taking a second out of it and giving it only 1 second, this is stealing from our salah. This is called tatfif in the sharia, which means we are not giving the salah the proper right that the salah deserves from us, and we are neglecting the right of salah, and thus we are neglecting the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe unto those who are not giving people their proper rights. So this tatfif is in every way of our life, in everything that we perform in our life. Once we know this, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he's using different ways of making us realize the importance of it, how dangerous it is to neglect these rights. And therefore, first thing he told us, and we talked about these ayahs, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. These people who are neglecting others' rights, don't they think that they will be brought up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be questioning them about all of the deeds. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these ayahs that I have recited today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kalla, inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin, wa ma adraka ma sijjin." Nay, indeed the record of the evildoers will be in sijjin. Kitab, kitab means the record, book. Al-fujjar, fajara yafjuru means to do something major, to commit a major sin. This is fujur. Fujur, a person, to commit major sins. This is why a person who is of the habit of committing major sins in Sharia, that person is called Fajr. Fajr is the person who openly keeps on doing something that's against the Sharia. We know Fajr, the time, Salat al-Fajr. Because it opens up, everything starts getting bright. It comes up. So Fajr is the person who comes up with his sin. And he's not trying to hide it from the people. That person is Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitab al-Fujjar, the record of the evildoers of Fujjar, Lafi Sijjin, it will be in Sijjin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّين. What will make you know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Sijjin? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not go further to explain the details of Sijjin. He ended the subject of Sijjin at this point. What is Sijjin? The word Sijjin is driven from the word Sijnun. Sin, Jim, Noon. And we all know Sijjin means prison. Sijjin means a very narrow prison. Really, Sin, Jim, Noon, Sijjin itself means a closed up place, a place that's very closed and at the same time very narrow. There is no way to get out of it and it's very narrow. This is what the real Sijnun means. And this is why this word is used for prison, because normally it's a small place for each person. It's a very narrow place that each person is given over there. And it's also closed up so no one can get out of it. This is what Sijnun means. And Sijjin, it's the extreme of Sijn. Which means these people will be extremely in a narrow place where they will have no way to escape from it. Inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us that these kuffar will be in sijjin. He's telling us the record of the evildoers will be in sijjin. What does this mean now? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in the hadith. When a sinner dies, a wrongdoer dies, or a kafir dies, the angels of death pull his soul out of his body. They take the soul up to the heavens. From the heavens, the soul gets rejected. And the angels do not open the doors of the heaven for this person, for the soul to go further. So these angels throw this soul down back to the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as we have this earth, this world, there are seven similar to this. Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawat. Allah is the one, this is the ayah of Quran. Allah is the one who created seven heavens, وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنْ, and same amount of earth. This is in Quran. So seven heavens and seven earth. When those angels throw that soul back, it goes down all the way to the bottom of the seventh heaven. Sijjin is below the seventh heaven. Sijjin is below that. And that is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the record of all the sinners and wrongdoers. Their soul also remains over there. And then the ayahs are coming, إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. The record of the virtuous people will be in عِلِّيِّينَ. عِلِّيِّين is driven from the word عُلُو, أَعْلَى. أَعْلَى means highest. عُلُو is height. عِلِّيِّين will be in the high place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the angels take the soul of a virtuous person, they go and knock at the door of the first heaven, the angel The guard of the first heaven asks, who is there? So these angels tell him that I am here and I have the soul of such and such person. They welcome that person. They open the doors of the heaven for him. There are many angels over there who are busy in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a respect to this person, they accompany this person and go with him all the way up. They go and knock the door of the second heaven. And same thing happens in the second heaven, and more angels accompany the soul. And it keeps on going further and further, until it will get to the seventh heaven. Above the seventh heaven, there is a place that's called Illiyin. This is where the soul is taken to, and this is where the soul goes to. And these souls are allowed to go and visit the Jannah. So the soul of the virtuous people is in Aliyin. The soul of the sinners is in Sijin. Now we also read in the Ahadith that when the person is buried, he gets his life back in his grave. And the soul gets back into the body. And this person is questioned. And this person goes through all the good time or the hard time. The sinner will get the punishment, and the virtuous people get the door of the Jannah or the window from the Jannah open for them. This is all the same subject. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have so beautifully explained it. This soul really, the soul of the virtuous people goes into Aliyin. The soul of the sinners goes all the way down to Sijin. In Sijin, that's a prison where there is all type of punishment. The soul is going through all type of worst punishments people can think of. In Aliyin, those people are having all the pleasures of the Jannah, and the door, the windows from the Jannah are open for them. They get the nice breeze from the Jannah. The body that's over there has the relationship. There is some relationship between that soul and the body. And because of that relationship that's there, this body also feels it. And the body knows what's going on with the soul. This is why the body does not have a complete life. The soul does not get exactly back into the body, and the person will be just like we are in this life. It's not that type of life. It's only the attachment, that how it's attached with that soul, and gets the feeling, the body gets the feeling just by being attached with that soul. It's just like when we go to the hospital, we see different type of people, people in different situations over there. You also see some people over there in the hospitals who are on life support. And those people, even though we call them alive, but what type of life is that? That person does not recognize anyone from this world. He doesn't know what's going around him. He cannot talk. He cannot hear anything, he cannot speak, nothing. You touch him, you talk to him, you break his foot, you break his leg, you don't see no movement from that person. All we say is, this person is still alive, because there are people who are specialists in the field, and they are telling us still he has a life. If it was us, by looking at that situation, we might even say this person is not alive. He's dead. Sometimes some people have more life, and they move their eyes, they move their fingers, they do some movements. Their life is a little stronger than the other ones, but still, is nothing comparing to our lives in this world. Same thing we can understand now, the difference between the lives in the Akhirah. The life of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam is the strongest over there. The life of Shuhada is little weaker than the life of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, but is stronger than the life of the rest of the people. And the life of the rest of the people, still there is some life, but it's just like that person who's on life support without any movement, and a person like me would say he's dead, only the doctors can tell us, no, he's not dead yet. And that type of life that we have in the grave is because of the relationship between the soul and the body. So the body feels what the soul is going through. So main punishment is for the soul. And main punishment is not to the body exactly, because the body becomes dust after some time. A person who was burned into the fire, the person who was eaten up by the beast, by the animals. Yet, all of those people, their soul goes either to Aliyin or to Sijin. And without any exception, all the people go to one of these places. So once the angels throw that soul down of the sinner, it goes down to Sijin. When it goes down to Sijin, in Sijin there is all type of punishment, so the soul sees all type of hardships and punishments then. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Kalla inna kitab al fujjari lafi Sijin. Indeed, the record of the evildoers will be in Sijin. So their record is there because their soul is also there. So Allah, otherwise, what's the sense of keeping the record away from the person? It's nothing that Allah, even if you keep someone's record in the worst place in the world, it doesn't make any difference if the record is good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, not only about their record, is also about their soul, that their record will be in Sijin and their soul will be in Sijin. And what type of record is this? Since now we can think and say, since all of these people are in Sijin over there, they have their records with them, so they might be able to make some changes into their records. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitabum marqum. A written record over there, that these people will not be able to change. It's all written, everything is destined over there, is written for them over there, and they won't be able to change those things. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Of course, who are the people who will be thrown into that Sijin? Whose soul will be going into the Sijin? Those are the people who deny the orders of Allah and deny the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who deny the Sharia of Islam. And denying, there is different levels of denying also. Some people go to the extreme level of denying and they openly claim their kufr, their shirk, they associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they reject the oneness of Allah, or they reject the prophethood of the Prophet of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, or any of these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the worst pair of rejecting. But of course, then there are many levels of rejecting also. Some people reject some orders. Remember one thing, rejecting the laws of Islam is the habit of kuffar, is the ways of kuffar, is nothing that suits the Muslims and the believers. That thing is not made for believers, is not supposed to be there for believers. In Quran al-Kareem, again and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, the hellfire is mainly built for kuffar. The hellfire is not made, is not created for believers, is created for kuffar. But those believers who will start using these things, borrowing this, denying from the kuffar, then they belong to those people and belong to where these people belong to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that denying is the habit of kuffar and it's only for kuffar. A Muslim is not supposed to deny anything from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A mu'min cannot deny it. And if a person is denying it, then he's taking something, borrowing something from the kuffar. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will put him where the other kuffar are, because he was using some of their things. So he will put them with them for as much as he used their things in this life, which is denying in this world, in this sense. So a person denies one order of Allah. We are not talking about aqaid. Denying one of the aqaid of Islam, he's out, he's kafir then. Or rejecting, denying any of the faraid of Islam, that's kufr. But denying to practice also. A person can deny to practice a salah, for example. Some people deny to practice fasting. Some people deny to practice al-hajj, even though they believe these things are faraid of Islam. But they deny to practice these things. They don't want to practice them. Because of this denying, basically, denying is for kuffar. And since these people are using something that was supposed to be only for kuffar, So they will be also put into a place that's supposed to be only for kuffar, which is the hellfire. And they will remain in there for as much as they use their things. And once that thing is done, that punishment is over, then they will be out of it. They will come back to where the believers really belong to, which is the Jannah. And this also tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used mukadhibin, woo unto those day, unto that day for the those who deny. Kadhaba yukadhibu means to reject something, to deny something, or to belie someone, to call someone a liar. Lying really is not part of iman. The lie itself is totally out of iman. The worst lie is to lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ أَظْلَبُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who can be worse than a person who fabricates a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the worst lie is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second in that order is lying against the Prophets, Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever will fabricate a hadith about me, or whoever will try to narrate a hadith which I have not said, he should prepare his place into the hellfire. So the worst lie is against Allah. The second is lying against the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then lying, just normally lying, is also so bad that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا كَذَبَ الْعَبْدِ تَبَاعَدَ عَنْهُ الْمَلَكُ مِيلًا مِنْ نَتْنِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ. When a person lies, the angels get a mile away from this person because of the smell of his mouth, of the lie that's in his mouth. The angel goes a mile away from this person because the angel cannot take the smell of this lie. So this lie has nothing to do with iman. It's totally out of iman. And anything that is from kufr is really a lie. Because iman is only haqq, is only truth. Everything out of iman is batil, is a lie, is falsehood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَيْلُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe unto that day to those who are rejecting. And the worst rejecting is الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Those who reject the day of judgment. الَّذِينَ, those. يُكَذِّبُونَ, reject. What? بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. We have read it in Surah Al-Fatiha. The owner of the day of judgment. يَوْم means day and الدِّين means judgment. So الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Those who reject the day of judgment. وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. And only transgressors and sinners will deny that day. Which means mu'tad. Mu'tad means a person who does not stop at a limit, at his limits. And athim means sinner. Ithm. Ithm in the Arabic language. Al-ithamim. Ithm means a sin. So a theme, a person who is of the habit of committing the sins. Just like sijin is the narrowest place. Sijin is a narrow place and sijin is in the narrowest place. And same thing, ithman is a sin and a theme is the person who is continuously doing the sin, a lot of sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, two type of people normally reject the day of judgment. And reject standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reject that iman of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, mu'tad. Mu'tad means a person who transgresses his limits. What does this mean? Subhanallah. Quran's each and every word is so appropriate in its place, and so nicely explains the whole situation, that there is no better way of explaining these things and these messages in any other words. We the human beings have our limits. If I'm standing on this floor, I don't know who's downstairs. I don't know what's going on underneath me. I don't even know what's under this carpet. I don't know what's under the ground. When I go above me, I don't know what's above this roof. If a bird is flying on top of the house, if a plane is flying, is anything going up on top of the roof, people are planning to throw something on me, whatever. I don't know nothing, I'm not aware of anything beyond these limits. I have my own limits of knowing things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed us with 5 senses to grab the knowledge, to learn things. We learn things by touching them. By touching, I knew, okay, this is hot, this is cold. By seeing these things, we get some information. By smelling things, we get information about things. This is a good food, this is bad. The water is good, the water is bad. It smells bad, it's not a good water. Smelling tells us also. And number 4, by speaking, tongue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And by hearing, we can also figure out things and get the information. 5 different things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us through which we grab the knowledge. But if we really look at it, all of these 5 senses are very limited. And in many cases, they misinform us also. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the brain. So that we can make a good judgment whether the sense at this time is giving me the right information or misinforming me. I look at the light up in the skies, and my eyes are telling me this light is only about as big as your finger. My brain tells me that your eyes are lying at you. They are misinforming you. This is an aeroplane. There are so many people sitting over there. Their baggage is also there. They have seats, they have food, they have bathroom. They have all of these facilities over there. So I know that my eyes are misinforming me. My brain is telling me the right thing now. And it's correcting what my eyes, the mistake that my eyes are making. And we experience this all the time. Someone said something and we heard it. We thought he said this, and we try to reconfirm it from the person, and we find out that no, he said something different. Our ears also give us wrong information sometimes. Sometimes we test something. The person is not feeling well and he tests something. So, even if he would test the honey, he might say it's bitter or it's sour. But everyone around him is telling him, no, the honey is sweet. But because you have fever, this is why you are not getting the right test of it. The right taste is not there. So my sense of testing is misinforming me. So all of these senses, sometimes they misinform us. And the one that corrects these information is our brain. But if the person, say if there is a villager or a child who doesn't really know about aeroplanes, he looks at the light and you tell him, you know, this light that you see is that big. This light is about 250 feet long. And there are 200 people sitting over there. And they have a bathroom, they have kitchen facilities, there is someone serving them, there is someone who's flying it. He might start laughing at you that something is wrong with my dad today. That I see it with my eyes that this is only about an inch big. And it's telling me this is 250 feet. A person who does not have the right information in his brain, the brain will not be able to correct this person at this time. So then he needs someone above him who can correct him and give him the right information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have also said that thing for us. That many times we hear things, our senses are telling us something, our brain is still telling us something different, but yet all of these things may not be right. Even our brain is not right, because brain does not have any information. We have never seen an aeroplane in our life. No one told us about the aeroplane in our life. We have never experienced that situation before. So now we need someone, an adult from our family, someone who would tell us that there are airports, there are aeroplanes, and there are these planes are like this, they are made in this way, and they fly. And all of this explanation, then that will explain to this child, this is exactly what this thing is. So up to that point, all of his senses and his brain was misinforming him. So we need someone who knows about it to tell us about these things. Same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have appointed Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam. That when our senses misinform us and our brain does not help the senses and cannot correct the senses, then Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam will inform us of the things that we have never seen and never thought of, that's under the ground and above the heavens. Because we have never seen it. We have never experienced it. So Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam will tell us under the ground, this is what you will be going through. Above, on the heavens, this is what's there, and this is what you will be going through over there. This is the life after death. This is iman bil ghayb. Iman, belief in unseen things. So what corrects all of these things, our senses and our brain, is the revelation which is called wahi. That's revelation and that's wahi. That's correcting all of our information. Now if a child, you send him to the class and he's in the school and is learning his science and he rejects everything from the teacher, from the book. The teacher says, this is how exactly these things were developed, and this is how the radio catches things, this is the how the TV catches the pictures, this is how they made the weapons, and try to explain all the technology, and he says, this is impossible, it cannot happen. Show it to me. I have to see it before I trust you. I can't trust you. This person is going beyond his limits in trusting his own abilities, in trusting his own senses and his brain. He's transgressing his limits. Same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person who transgresses his limits, mu'tad, he goes beyond his limits in trusting just his own knowledge, his senses, his brain, and does not trust Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, then he will reject the Day of Judgment. He has to reject the Day of Judgment because he just trusts himself. وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ. Every transgressor will reject the Day of Judgment. Because this person depends too much on his own senses, on his own knowledge, on his own brain, on his own information, and he's going beyond his limits now in using these senses. He doesn't know what's above him, above the heavens there, and still he wants to use his brain and his understanding of it, so he's transgressing the limits. Same thing, a person who wants to talk about the life under the ground, and he doesn't know nothing about it, and still he does not want to trust Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, does not want to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is a transgressor. Mu'tad. And the second type of person that will reject it is athim, is the sinner. A person who gets into the habit of committing the sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says later on in this surah, in the same surah, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. There are people who get rust on their hearts. When the hearts are rusted, then of course, Nothing can get into the heart. The person feels he has all the understanding, he has all the knowledge, all the information. But really he does not have no understanding at all whatsoever. There is rust on his heart. Something that's covering the heart is not allowing the right information to get there. And this happens also a lot in our life. It happens many times. You get someone very angry. and keep on telling him lies or whatever, you know, that person, he was beating me like this and he started cursing me like this and then he threatened me of doing this. So now the person who's hearing all of this, there will be a fire burning in his heart. And something now, because of his anger is covering the heart so much, now someone tries to tell him, you know, don't do this, don't curse, don't try to take revenge, go and find out first, and he cannot really hear anything. He doesn't even know what he's doing. And it is all of those things at that time that if he really had that understanding and was not angry, he would never think of doing these things and saying those words in his life. Something is covering up his heart now. It does not allow him to think right. The most intelligent person in the life might get into these situations that something happened to him. Someone is very happy, extremely happy. This happens also. Some people get very angry, some people sometimes get very happy. And in that situation of being so happy, he starts giving out so many things. And later on he realized, oh, those people admired me so much and they did all of this and got all of this out of me. And now we feel sorry for giving all of what he has given. Sometimes we even give up information. Someone tells us, you know, I only trust you and you're so nice, this. And he gets so happy and so proud of himself. He just gives up all the information. And later on he realized that it was my mistake. So any type of feelings. There are so many things in our life that do not allow us to think right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us one of these things are sins. When they cover up the heart totally, then the hidayah does not get to the heart. It just spills over the heart. It hits there and it spills over because it cannot get over there. There is a rust over there that's not allowing the good things and the righteous things to get into our hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, when a person commits a sin, he gets a dot on his heart. فَإِن تَابَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ If the person will seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, that will be washed away. If the person will not seek Allah's forgiveness and continue committing another sin, will be another door there, and third one, and major sins will be big ones. Finally, the heart gets to the situation of being totally sealed with that sin, with the effect of the sin. Just like a mirror. The dust keep on getting on the mirror. And it's piling up. Finally, it might pile up so much that you won't even know by looking at it that this is a mirror. You can't see nothing in it. You tell someone that, you know that thing over there, it's a mirror. They'll say, no, this isn't. This can't be a mirror. You put your finger on it, you move it, and you will see really underneath the dust is a mirror. Same thing that happens to our heart. By committing too many sins, the heart gets sealed totally. It's covered up totally by these sins. And now these sins are not allowing any good word to get into the heart. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person who is a sinner, he also denies the day of judgment and denies akhirah either by belief or by actions. Remember, we talked about denying akhirah by action in our previous sessions. Denying it by belief is not believing in the akhirah. Denying it by actions is preparing only for this life and doing all the wrong things and not caring about what we will have to go through in the akhirah. Whereas we all know all the ayahs and so many ahadith about the day of judgment and the things that we will be facing on the day of judgment and the hardships people will be facing on that day and how we will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the presence of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam and all the human beings from Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and till the last day of this life. All of those people will be there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be questioning us. Today we try to hide our sins, hide ourselves and commit sins. How are we going to hide it that day? But still we continue committing them. This is denying the day of judgment by our practice, even though we believe there is a day of judgment. I know there is a day of judgment, but my practice is proving that I don't care about it, which simply means the belief is very weak about it. And I don't. That's the reason I don't care about it. So, a theme, when the person continuously keeps on committing the sins, then he does not get the right information. And he cannot, the right knowledge, right information, hidayah, cannot get to the person's heart. And this is another point we must keep in our mind at this time. Sometimes we have people who really study a lot. They read a lot. And because of the number of books these people have read, we might think that these people have a lot of knowledge. And nowadays, there are even people who claim being in that situation because we all have computers. And thousands of ahadith are compiled in one CD that the people in the past never had that opportunity. All the information is put together, you just punch some numbers or a word and will give you all the ayahs and ahadith about the subject. But the right understanding of the deen will never be there if the practice is not there and the heart is not clean. Those people who were before us in the ummah, they devoted their lives for deen. Nights, you will see them doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the daytime, they are serving and teaching people. With us, nights we are sleeping. Daytime, we are sitting on these computers with books. The only reason I'm studying all of this, so that when people will ask me to give a lecture, I can give a good lecture. When people will ask me a question, I will be able to answer their questions. That's the only reason I'm studying. So where is the iman then? What is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If this is the purpose, then this is only a business. That when people will come to my business, my store, I can give them the right product so that they can come back to me and they'll feel that they are in the right store. That's all I'm doing. Nighttime I go to sleep and have a good rest so that in the daytime I can work good with these people. And I have all of these clients, I must keep them happy, I must give them what they like, give them the product, the type of product that they will be happy with. And therefore, I try to twist things also for them because I have all the information. I'm giving all the information for them. I'm trying to give them the right product that will bring these clients back to my store. This is not deen. This is all dunya. Those people, if you look at their lives, very simple example of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, who says, and about whom is very well known, that he spent 40 years, never slept even for a moment during the night time. 40 years, he did not go to his bed during the night time. Whole night, he's awake, doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and daytime, he's teaching people and serving the Islam. The only time that he goes to have some rest is in the noontime afternoon, when it's sunnah to have qaylula, to sleep for a short while. He used to sleep for a very short time at that time. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, one night, he went to bed and he could not sleep until Fajr. And he says, during Salat al-Tahajjud, I was reciting an ayah, and that ayah continued coming into my mind when I was in my bed. So I continued throughout the night. I was driving the masail from that ayah. I was getting something new from that ayah. A person says, once I saw Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi majma'in. They both were at the same time. I saw both of them in the masjid discussing some masail of fiqh after Salatul Isha. They were standing at the door of the masjid and discussing it. When I came back for Salat al-Fajr, they were still standing over there. Both of them are discussing the Masail of Fiqh. So those are the people who really devoted their lives for these things. And they would never get close to the sin, not even think about these things. We're so far away from it, things that we are involved in day and night. The first thing nowadays we people do to increase our knowledge and our information, the person will be sitting in front of the TV for 2 hours every day so he can grab new information, and then in my khutbah I can give you all that information and have my points made from those things. And seeing, watching the woman over there, watching all the non-mahram, listening to the music, all of that, so that I can give people a good information for in Salatul Jum'ah. This tells us, this is only to tell us a theme. When the person commits a sin, the right knowledge never gets to that person's heart. Then the person might, just like a CD, keep on recording a lot of things in his brain, but will never have the right understanding of it. He can never have a right understanding of it. It reminds me, and I can tell you this, that if a person will put all the knowledge of the world into a CD and will have it just on his fingertip, and whenever he wants, he can get it there. For example, these type of things, he can never figure them out. What is that? One of my teachers. A person came to him, and this is, I'm telling you, is my own teacher. A person came to him. He said to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. That O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, if I had the knowledge of unseen, I would have got a lot of khayr. Keep this in mind now. If I had the knowledge of unseen, I would have got a lot of khayr. Now he asked him, he said, do you think Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a lot of khayr or he did not? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have a lot of khayr or not? Can anyone reject it? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. What is al-kawthar? The tafsir of al-kawthar is al-khayr al-kathir, a lot of khayr. Al-kawthar means a lot of khayr. So now he's telling him that it's proven that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a lot of khayr. That simply means he had the knowledge of unseen things, of all ilm al-khayr. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal'ayazu billah. Put all the books, all the ahadith, all the ayahs together. Where are you going to figure out the answer for this? He said to him, then I will tell you another ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, now under the same rule, I need you to explain that ayah to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. If there was another God, another Lord in this universe, in the heaven and the earth, other than Allah, there would have been a lot of mischief. لَفَسَدَتَا. There would have been a lot of fasad. Now he asked him, my teacher asked that person, he said, do you think there is a lot of fasad or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. There is a lot of fasad in the land, in the ocean. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. So there is fasad. So that simply means, under the same rule, it means there has to be more than one Lord. Because if there was more than one Lord, there would have been fasad. And now I have proved to you that there is fasad. So there has to be more than one Lord under the same rule that you are using in that ayah. So that person said, okay, now I know I'm wrong. Now can you explain it to me? Explain to me how, what the right answer to this. So of course he explained to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling that if, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ, if I had the knowledge of unseen things, then لَسْتَكْثَرْ, I would have got more than what I have. Istikthar means getting more than what you already have. I would have got more than what I have. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّءُ, and no hardship would ever have affected me in this life. And I have, where you know that I've gone through a lot of hardships in this life. So, that's the barakah of the knowledge. That's the understanding of avoiding the sin, by avoiding the sins. So, avoiding the sins is the thing that will give us the right information. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this in one of his ahadith. And really now at this point, you can very well understand the meaning of this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man amila bima ya'lam." Whoever, man amila bima ya'lam, whoever will practice what he knows, warathahu Allahu 'ilma ma lam ya'lam. Allah will give him the knowledge of things that he doesn't know. Warathahu Allah. Wirata means to inherit something. Wirata. Allah will give him an inheritance. Just will give it to him. Inheritance is something that you don't work for. You will just get it. Allah will give him the knowledge of things that he have no information about. This is by what? By practicing. When the practice is not there, everything against the Sharia of Islam in our life, and then we keep on reading the books and try to convey the message of Islam and try to talk about Sharia and give long lectures and prepare tapes and prepare all of these books and everything, there's no benefit. It just remains in those tapes, in all those audio, radio tapes. All of those plastics and papers are getting all the information. People hear it just to enjoy. You know, this is another type of entertainment nowadays people like. That, okay, there is a Christian priest who is going to be talking about his religion. Let's go and listen to him. There is a Muslim imam who will be talking about some of his deen. Let's go and listen to that person too. Even our own people, they come to lectures to enjoy. This is entertainment for many people. And for many people, this is another type of business, you can say, or really this is some enjoyment for them also that, okay, let's go and get some information. Many people, there are many people who, even in these sections sometimes you get questions. Someone will ask you, can you give me a name of a book? Tell me the name of a book. That people sometimes ask me a lot of questions about Islam. So by reading that book, I can answer people's questions. So at least I will become a scholar now. There was a person came to me once. And he showed his interest in becoming a Muslim. I said, MashaAllah, of course, we welcome everyone who comes to Islam. And he showed a lot of interest in becoming a Muslim. And I asked, I said, first thing, if you have any questions about Islam, go ahead and ask me those questions to clarify anything. So now he says, no, I don't have any questions about Islam. I think only one thing I would like to know, you know, you have this school and this and you teach. So, do you have any short course for becoming imam? He's not Muslim yet. But he would like to become imam. So I asked him, you know, what do you mean by short course? How much time you have and how many hours you can spend? He says, you know, if there is something like, I heard there are some courses, 2 weeks courses that I can spend and I can become imam. And MashaAllah. So, it's instant imam, that you become a Muslim, spend 2 weeks and then you become imam, subhanAllah. So, this is all what we have done to the knowledge of our deen. And really, as I said, this is an entertainment. People use it as a business. Just like people learn computer science, so that they can fix people's computers, they can make programs for people. People learn all of other sciences. So people learn deen also, so that they can answer people's questions, they can give good lectures, they can attract people, and this is a type of business. But the real barakah is the person practices his deen and keeps his intention sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just for the sake of serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one of the occasions, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was asked 40 questions. Out of 40, 36 questions, he said, I don't know the answer for it. Today, I'm ashamed to say about one question that I have, I don't know the answer for this. Why? Those people were working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not ashamed to say, I don't know it. They were not losing anything by saying, I don't know it. Today, I'm losing a lot by saying, I don't know it. This is why I'm ashamed that I'm expecting something from you, and because I know that I will lose that by telling you I don't know it, so this is why I'm afraid to say I don't know it. If I would expect it only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I would really say I don't know it when is the time to say I don't. So, everything takes the understanding of deen away from us. The more sinner the person is, the more he will have misunderstanding about deen. And this is at least for us to realize that sometimes we read some ayahs of the Quran, we can pick up the book of hadith and read those ahadith. This is to tell us, we all know that we are sinners and we commit sins, so at least we should try to get the information from the right people, right sources, because there must be some misunderstanding we have. Because of these sins, really, the sin is not allowing us to get the right message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get the right message from Quran al-Kareem and from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not able to understand the message properly. Just like the munafiqeen at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to hear all the ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they are not able to put those ahadith in their proper application. They are not able to practice these things. They always misinterpret the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are always having some misunderstanding there. This is the reason they don't want to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the reason they don't want to practice what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them, because these people are always involved in committing sin. They don't want to let those sins go away. Now take a simple example. You must have heard this in one of the ayahs before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was going for the battle of Tabuk, a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a munafiq. Now, this is just an example how when there is a sin on the heart, how these sins prevent the person from having the right understanding of deen. That person goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of the battle of Tabuk, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, the war is against the Roman Empire. And I also know that their women are white. They are nice looking. They are pretty women they have. So, Ya Rasulullah, if I would go over there with you for jihad, I'm afraid I'll just look at those women and commit the sin by looking at them. So, therefore, please allow me not to go with you. Quran says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ ذَلِّي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي. There are people who say, allow me to stay behind and don't put me into a fitna. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا. You are already in the fitna. You are already in the fitna. You don't know what you're doing. This is an example of a sealed heart. That a person feels going out for jihad will make me commit that sin. And this is why I should not go out for jihad with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaitan is telling him that you are being so virtuous, mashallah. You are better than all the other people that you are worried about not committing a sin. This is what his feeling is. So he feels that he's the greatest person out of Sahaba. But Quran is telling him that he's the worst person out of those and he's in fitna. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Two things that will not allow the person to have the right understanding. Mu'tadin, a person who transgresses his limits and does not stop at his limit. And the second is athim, a sinner, a person who keeps on committing the sin. He also cannot have the right understanding of deen and cannot get the right information and right knowledge of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the hidayah and to have the right understanding of Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to surat al-mustaqim and keep our hearts clean and pure from all type of sins. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وللسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.